Turn our Bibles this morning. We're going to be finished with Ephesians before we know it. Got maybe two more sermons after today, but let's look, let's just go ahead and start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against principalities, or against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, therefore stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith by which you'll be able to quench some, no, all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And now the verse for this morning. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're only going to cover the first part of verse 17 this morning. We are going to take a helmet. And this helmet has a specific name. It's called salvation. We must, I tell you this morning, if there's a word that we need to, the fifth piece of armor that we need to put on, it's the helmet called salvation. And, you know, you will never, number one, walk worthy of our calling. Remember, worthy is a set of weights, meaning a balanced walk, equal in doctrine, equal in application. You hear God's word, you do God's word. We have to have on the helmet of salvation. If we do not do that, this invisible enemy that we are against, who is defeated, will defeat you, who will torment you. And loved one, listen, we don't want that. We want to keep him in his proper place, and that is in the arena of defeat. Amen? So it says here in verse 17 now, it says, take the helmet of salvation. Again, the word take is important. It's a command. But the interesting thing about that, it's not the same word in the other scriptures where it says to take. The word take here is different in the Greek, and it literally means you need to receive the helmet of salvation. You need to accept it immediately, or better yet, you need to grasp it and make it your very own. Now, question, is there anyone here on this early service this morning, if you say that you, Jerry Jones, is that his name? Let's say that Jerry Jones looked at you and said, hey, man, I would like you to play for the Dallas Cowboys. The only problem is you're not going to be able to wear a football helmet when you're out there playing. Is that very smart? No. I mean, listen, think about that for a minute. I mean, how many blows can a headless or a headless helmet or whatever you want to call it, how many blows can you take before you go, I'm gone? You see what I'm getting at? Well, the word here is it's a helmet. So what does a helmet do? The helmet is like a football helmet. Let's just use that in a natural setting. In other words, what does a football helmet do? It protects your head. It protects your head from, well, your brain is there, supposedly, right? You have your brain, your thinking, your understanding. Everything is right there. You put that helmet on, and when you get hit, a blow to the head, you hope it's going to protect you. Amen? But whenever you put on and you take the helmet of salvation and you truly understand what it is and you put it on and believe what it means, then you know what happens? You're protected. You're this right here. You're protected. Loved one, listen, if you have a, God forbid, you know when if you have a brain injury, does it affect the entire body? Man, I raised up the other day at home. You know how you leave a cabinet door open and you bend down to put a pot underneath there and you raise it back? Has that ever happened to you? Did you like it? No. I was like, I wanted to rip that thing off the wall, man. I couldn't see. I was seeing stars and visions and I thought I was in heaven. And no. Loved one, listen. So listen, we don't want our thinking, our understanding, this part of our body exposed. We don't want to be injured at all meaning spiritually, okay? No, listen, the helmet protects the weakest area of our body in warfare, and that is our minds. The place where Satan always attacks. Man, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Satan has damaged a lot of Christians' thinking, hasn't he? He really has. He delivers a blow. Listen, Satan cannot kill the soul, but boy, he can damage the mind. If you don't put on the helmet of salvation, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. But here's the problem, is that we get confused, or many people get confused, when it says the helmet, or take the helmet, and then it uses the word salvation. Don't be confused by the word salvation. Question. Ephesians, the prison epistle, Paul writing to the Ephesian church from Rome. Who was he writing to? He was writing to the saints of God, amen? He was writing to people that were already saved. He was writing to believers. It's important that we understand that. Listen, the Ephesian people, again, they were already saved. And only a Christian can put on the whole armor of God. Only a believer, someone who is already saved, can stand against the wiles of the enemy. Now, we have to remember then, if we're going to understand our text, we have to remember that our context has nothing to do, in a sense, with salvation, although it does. We're talking now about warfare, aren't we? Okay, that's so important. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So this tells us a secret, if you will, if I could use that word. Verse 17 tells us then that the area of our attack by the wicked ones, by the powers of darkness, is against our salvation that we possess, the greatest thing in the world, amen? Knowing that we are saved. So he wants to come against the believer's assurance of salvation. He wants to come against the, not only that, but the security that we have in Christ. And here's what he does. And it's happened to all of us at once in our life, maybe as a baby Christian or older, doesn't matter. It's happened. The evil one, or the powers of darkness, whatever is out there in that realm that's unseen, that hates God and hates us, you know what? He has, at times, made us question our salvation, hasn't he? Whether we're truly saved. Or am I really born again? Or can I lose my salvation? Oh, God, look what happened to me. I fell and I got into this mess. And Lord, I mean, am I lost, and can I lose it, or whatever? Listen, the helmet of salvation protects your mind. You have to do that. If you are unarmed, if you don't put on the fifth piece of armor. So the helmet of salvation, loved one. You know, I love what J. Vernon McGee said. He said this. He said, the plume on the top of the helmet is Christ Jesus. So when we think about our salvation, we have to look to Jesus. Amen? See, Christ is our salvation. Remember when the angel appeared unto Joseph and so forth? I don't know what, Matthew 1:21? You shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. That's us and the Jews as well. Now listen, Jesus is our salvation. Whenever old Simeon, remember the old prophet in Luke's gospel, and remember how the Holy Spirit had promised him, said, you will not see death, Simeon, until you see God's salvation. And remember what Simeon did? He came into the temple, and there was Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, and he took baby Jesus up into his arms, and he said this. He said in Luke 2:29, he said, oh, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, and that promise that was made to him. And here's what he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Amen. Now, I know that when I talk about salvation this morning, it's important that I do. And I know it's like maybe class 101. We should all understand about our salvation and being saved. Amen? But it's important that I talk about it because, see, Satan attacks your mind. So you have to, in this battle, I have to do it. We all have to do it. I have to think, when I think about me, my relationship with God, a relationship with Christ, I have to think me saved. Do you understand? I have to think that way. I mean, that has to be paramount. And not only just one day a week, I have to do that every 24/7. We train our mind. So to take the helmet of salvation means that by faith, you believe in the absolute perfect finished work of Jesus Christ for us. Amen? There's nothing else left to be done. So I'm going to give you scriptures this morning. And you know these scriptures, but it's imperative that you live, hear it again. Romans 1:16. Remember what Paul shouts out? He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of whom? The gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation." Did you get that? It's the power to be saved. The power unto God to salvation. The divine energy of God. To everyone who believes, to the Jew, to the Gentile, for in it, meaning in the gospel, it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, for the just shall live by what?" Okay, there we go. That's so simple, but it's not simple. Listen, we are born from above, and the devil wants to make you think that you're not sometimes. And you've got to protect your mind. Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ is power, loved one. And here's what's so wonderful. The gospel is all about Jesus. Salvation is all about Jesus. It's not what you've done for God. It's what Jesus has done for you. Amen? Oh, listen. It's not based on your behavior. Oh, all of a sudden, oh, Lord, if I'm going to be good enough, will you love me? And, you know, no, it's based on do you believe or not. And if you believe, you will start behaving. Do you understand? Oh, yeah, listen to this now. Talking about the helmet of salvation. It says in Romans 8:29, "For whom he foreknew," that's past tense, okay, "whom God knew beforehand," in other words, in eternity, those that he's called. He says, "He also predestined," or marked out, determined beforehand, "he predestined," he says, "those to be conformed to the image of his son." Now, there are those that say, "Oh, wow, that word predestined is a bad word. God predestines people to hell." No. There's no predestination. This just only has to do with the saved. Did you know that? What is the goal of God picking you and choosing you in eternity? Here's the goal of predestination: for you to be conformed to the image of his son. Amen? Okay, so listen, that's salvation. Whenever you are in a war, you have to know those things. You have to get that down into your heart, into your mind. I'm not talking about just knowing them. They have to be alive here, not up here. Amen? It's the living word of God. You have to know with all of your heart that God chose you. He wants you. He picked you. Amen? No matter what the devil says. No matter what some false teacher may say. Well, you've got to have that down in your heart. "Moreover, whom he," meaning God, "predestined," remember, marked out, that's past tense, beforehand, "these he also called, and whom he called," that's past tense, "he also justified." Well, you know what that word means. I don't need to go back and teach it again. Just as if you had never sinned. Amen? He justified you. He declared you righteous in his sight. Christ's perfect record is now your perfect record, loved one. He says he also justified, and in whom he justified, that's past tense again, listen carefully, he also glorified. Now, that's past tense, even though that, loved one, is a future event. It's the word he is used six times. God is the author of your salvation from the very beginning to the very end. Amen? Listen, those verses are so important, and they're so certain that God himself speaks as though it was already done. And here's the deal. If you don't believe that someone has either stolen your helmet or you have never put that helmet on. You see, listen now, the word predestined, called, justified, glorified that I was reading from Romans 8, listen carefully, did you know every one of those words are in the past tense? So from God's eternal perspective, they are already completed and they can never, ever be altered. Do you understand? Listen, the helmet of salvation, the devil doesn't want you to rejoice in that. That right there, we should have tambourines going off right this minute. Do you understand? We should be jumping and shouting. It's over. our salvation. He has us. Do you understand? Man, you put that helmet on. Listen, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, does he lose sheep? No, well, one of them gets away. What does he do? He goes out and he gets it. They keep doing it again and again. What does he do? He breaks their leg. Yeah. Cooper, he's a good shepherd. You're going to be dependent on me now the rest of your life. You're not going to run away from me anymore. Listen, God is the one who's doing the work in us. Amen? So when you start thinking about putting on the helmet of salvation, you're going to be attacked by the wicked one. He wants to mess with your mind. Listen, salvation means this, past tense. We just covered all this. I have been saved immediately from sin's penalty. Think about that. Okay, I have on my helmet. Now, that's past tense. That's justification. Not only that, here's present tense. I am being saved progressively from sin's power. That's sanctification. Let me give you this one. I shall be saved ultimately from sin's presence. That's future tense. That is glorification. That is when we're in heaven, sin is gone forever, amen, and we have our brand new bodies. Listen, you have to put that helmet on, and when those blows start coming against you, you need to say, no, I know who I am. I know who I believe. I know what Christ has done for me. Ephesians 2:8, we covered it months ago. It says, for by grace, not law, not works, not by voting for Republicans or Democrats. Do you understand? We have been saved by what? Grace. It's not your grace. You don't own it. It's God's grace, his unmerited, unconditional, unearned, unmerited favor directly from God. He loves us, man. It says, for grace you've been saved. Now listen, in the Greek, that's a completed action. It doesn't mean you're going to be saved. Oh, save me. No. It's a completed action. The one who started that good work is going to finish it. Amen. God sees it as done. He sees you as seated in Christ right now in the heavenly places. Put that helmet of salvation on your head. You don't need it. Never, ever fear. And that's what the devil wants you to do. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That's the channel, the key. And it says, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. A gift can't be earned, loved one. Not of works. No, the work was completed on the cross. Lest anyone should boast. Now listen to me. You put the helmet of salvation on. You are not going to receive any more grace from God. Do you understand that? No, loved one. Romans 5:2. You stand in the grace of God 24/7. You can't get out of the grace of God. Do you understand? Oh, he's not going to say, oh, God, I need more grace. He said, I'm not giving you any more. He says, you have all the grace you're going to get. You have all of my grace right now, and you have it forever and ever and ever. And if you don't believe that, you've been taking off your hat. You're letting the devil slap you in the head. You're letting him knock the word of God out of you. Do you understand me? See, we've got to have that on. It says in Romans 5:6, it says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He took our place, amen? The substitutional sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He died for me as me. Man, it's never to be repeated. It's only happened one time. It'll never be duplicated. It'll never be surpassed. Do you understand? It's done. He says, but God demonstrates or proves his own love toward us, Romans 5:8, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now listen to me. I hear it all the time in counseling, on telephone counseling, Zoom counseling. I'm a Zoom counselor now. Zoom. I Zoom right in, and if I don't like it, I Zoom out. No, listen. God demonstrates his own love toward us, you. He died for us. Now, so listen, you're not going to get any more of God's love. Oh, the devil won't say, God doesn't love you. Look what you've done. Oh, look at you. You think God loves you now? Do you understand what I'm getting at? No, listen, you're not going to get any more of God's love. And the reason you're not going to get any more of God's love is because you've already received all of his love, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he put him on the cross. He demonstrated his own love for you. Do you understand? For God so loved the world. What did he do? He loved you so much. He poured out all of his love. What did he do? Take my son. Let him bear the wrath of God, the sin of your sin. Do you understand? Your punishment, your crime. He was without sin. He was innocent. Oh, the Bible teaches us about the love of God. It's like, behold, the love of God. It's from another, like another planet, that we can be called the children of God. Oh, what manner of love the Bible talks about. A love that is unconditional, a love that never changes. Oh, loved one, listen, we need to, our thinking, we've got to put that helmet on, or the devil will be slapping you. You understand? He wants your thinking. He wants your mind. So we take the helmet of faith, which means this. We believe by faith in the perfect, finished work of Jesus Christ for man. But there's nothing more to be done. Listen, you know what's sad? You know, I was looking at the words this morning, and not being critical of any songs that were picked or anything, but I was looking at the words. And I'll just take another song. I don't want to pick on that any song. But we sing, oh, I'm free, and you know, John 3:36, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Do you believe that? We sing that, but are you free? Do you believe you're free? Do you act like you're free? Do you understand what I'm getting at? See, if not, I'm going to tell you why. You've got to put that cap, that hat, that helmet on your head right this minute. Listen, if you're not, you can't remove the lies of the wicked one without the helmet of salvation. You have to renew your mind. You have to put on God's truth. My life verse, that I was saved. You shall know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth will set you or make you free. And that's what I want. You walk through this world, and if you don't have the helmet of salvation on, you know what happens? Here comes a crisis. Here comes a problem. Here comes a financial issue, a health issue, whatever it might be. And you know what? The helmet of salvation says this, that thanks be unto God, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, past tense, you ready, who has what? Blessed us, past tense, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Loved one, listen to me. That is a past fact. No, yes, a past fact, a present fact, and it's also a present possession. That is the reality of every believer. You right this minute, you are blessed. You have been pronounced blessed by God. Amen? You see, when you have the helmet of salvation on, you can stand. You can stand your ground. And you can say, I don't care what I'm facing. I'm telling you what, I don't need to ask God for a blessing. I have them all. But you have to believe you have them all. Does that make sense? We cry out, oh God, I need more love. And he goes, I've already given you all the love you're going to get. Romans 5:5, it's already there in your heart. Amen? Oh, I need more peace. I need more strength. Oh, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives you strength. You see, that's the helmet of salvation. You stand. Your mind is clear. You know the word of God. Man, you don't need any more peace. You already have. Jesus said, I give unto you my peace. Amen? See, you have to believe that, not just, well, I know this scripture, and, you know, I think it's going to be okay, and, you know, and so forth. No. My helmet that I put on, and I have to fight just like you fight. I have to believe God's word just like you have to believe God's word. I walk in victory, whether I feel like it, think about it, or whatever. I know I am victorious because I'm in the one who's overcome this world. Amen? But see, that's the helmet of salvation. You've got to believe it with all of your heart. Not just, well, I know it's here. No, it's right here. It's with the heart man believes, loved one. Oh, listen, we have to be, by faith, we believe all of those things. When you start thinking about who we really are, you know, do you ever just dwell on that? That you have been, loved one, you have been fully chosen in him, meaning Christ, before the foundation of this world, in eternity. before time, before there were angels and cherubims and anything, just God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God says, I knew your name. You've heard me teach it. Your name is as old as God, and God is eternal. Do you really believe that God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world? You have been fully chosen in him. That's the helmet of salvation. You put that on and you say, listen, I'm fully blessed. I'm fully chosen. I'm fully adopted. I'm fully redeemed. My sins are forgiven forever in Jesus. Do you follow me? You see, that is the helmet of salvation. You put that on. And then you say, whenever the attack comes, you say, oh, look at you. And you go, listen to me. How did Jesus defeat the devil? With the word. Well, that's what you have to do. Well, look at you. You think God accepts you now? Yes, he does. You know why I know? Because the Bible says that I have been made to be accepted in the beloved, which is Jesus Christ. That means that there's nothing I can do to be more accepted by God. Do you understand that? Man, I start thinking, oh, Lord, you mean God accepts me just like he accepts his own son? Yeah. You mean he loves me like he loves Jesus? Yeah, that's right. That is your Jesus for you. That is your eternal position in Christ Jesus, and it can never, ever change. Listen to me, Christian. We are running a race that we can never lose. Never. Do you understand? We're going to run all the way home. It's going to happen. But you have to put on, in this world, man, you've got to put on the helmet of salvation. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1:3 that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness according to the knowledge of him. Listen, everything. Do you believe that promise? No matter what it is, godliness or this life, he says, you have everything you need, which means there is nothing more for you to receive. You have everything you need in Christ, and there's only one way to get it, to walk in it, and that is you have to appropriate it by faith. There's no other way. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith, loved one. Yes. So all of these blessings of salvation that we have, they're in Jesus Christ, and they can never be lost. And here's why. Because they're in him. And now we're in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Whenever Christ died on the cross, loved one, when God made him sin who knew no sin, the reason that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Loved one, there was a real transfer of our sin away from us. That's called imputation, remember? It's where we take what belongs to another and he puts it to our account. Love, we have the spotless, perfect, sinless record of Jesus Christ, loved one. When God looks at us, he looks at us, our position now, not our practice, our position is one that we have been, pardon me, just as obedient as Christ was. Think about that. That's that helmet of salvation that you put on. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:21, Paul says, don't boast in men, or don't Apollos or Paul or Cephas, man, no, stop that. He said, all things are yours. And then when we get down to verse 22 or 21, you know what he does? He says it again. He says, all things are yours. Everything. Do you believe that? Everything is yours. You are a co-heir with Christ. That's that helmet of salvation. Are you following me this morning? You put that thing on and you say, Bill, you're kind of aggressive. Yes, I am. And I'll tell you why. Because he is a liar. The devil is a liar and he doesn't want anyone to hear what I'm saying. Listen, all things are yours. Everything. Matter of fact, that scripture says this. He says, oh, listen, all things are yours. Whether it's the world, whether it's life, whether it's death, things present, things to come. Paul says, listen, everything, all things are yours. We belong to Jesus Christ, and everything he has belongs to us because we are co-heirs with him. Amen? life. He's the source of life. Death, he's the one who's abolished death, and we're in him. Things present, things to come, whatever we're facing in this life, we have already won. Our future is not certain because the helmet of salvation tells us that. Now listen, if you don't believe in your heart the word of God, that means that you have not obeyed the commandment to take the helmet of salvation. It means then, if you haven't done so, if you've neglected it or didn't know about it, it means that your mind, loved one, is not protected. It means that your mind can be raided by the wicked one of God's truth. It means that your mind can be taken, he can take the word of God out of your heart. Forgetting it, not acting upon it, just being a spectator, not a participator, whatever. No, listen, God wants you sure and certain that you are saved. The devil wants you to be unsure of your salvation, unsure if God can keep you saved. Are you listening to me? That's what he wants. Everything that we have that God has given unto us is appropriated by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? For we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you do not understand and take up the helmet of salvation, here's what's going to happen. And I get calls all the time. I don't think I'm saved anymore. Do you think God doesn't love me? I said, well, stop. Who's telling you that? It's not God. You understand? Oh, listen, if you don't have the helmet on, finally, you know what happened? You're going to start suffering a spiritual brain injury. Blow after blow. Man, your mind and to your thinking, and your mind, if you without the helmet, is defenseless. And you know what he does? He loves that. He keeps beating on you, but he wants to come in, and here's what he loves to do to immature Christians who do not know the word of God. He says he comes in for the final knockout. And you know what he does? Oh, look at you. Look what you've done. Look at you have an addiction now. You're a Christian? Oh, come on. You're not saved. God's not going to forgive you. Look what you're involved in. No, listen. He comes in because you don't have that helmet on. You don't understand it. And he hits you in the head as hard as he can. He knocks that kind of individual Christian out of the pew. Then he gets them out of the church. And then he knocks them into the pig pen. And then they say, well, I'm not saved. I'm out here in the world, living like the world, thinking like the world. And God says, no, you're going to come to your senses. And you're going to come back to me. Amen. Listen, an unrenewed mind, you've heard me say so often, is an unarmed mind. We have to, renew our minds to the word of God. That's the basis of all transformation. Remember in what was it? Ephesians 4:23, renew not your mind, but the spirit, that new creation, the spirit of your mind. The Bible teaches us in Philippians 2:5 to do what? It says you are to have the mind of Christ. Now listen to me. If we are in battle, I'm talking about warfare. You cannot be double-minded. James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You can't be double-minded in warfare. Why? Well, that's the devil's playground, loved one. He loves that. Why? Well, you don't have your helmet on. You're not protecting your mind. I know that you have all heard what I'm about to read. If you haven't, then it'll surprise you. And that's old Paul Harvey. Remember Paul Harvey? Good Day? You know who I'm talking about? Okay, he says, if I were the devil. Now listen carefully. He wrote that in 1965. And as he did, he was, unbeknownst to him, predicting the future. Listen as I read. He says, if I were the devil, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. I would delude their minds into thinking that they had come from man's effort instead of God's blessings. I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other way around. I would dupe entire states into relying on gambling for their state revenue. I would convince people that character is not an issue when it comes to leadership. I would cheapen human life as much as possible so that the lives of animals are valued more than the lives of human beings. I would take God out of the schools. Even the mention of his name on the grounds would be for a lawsuit. I would come up with drugs that sedate the mind, target the young, and I would get sports heroes to advertise them. I would get control of the media so that every night I could pollute the mind of every family member with my agenda. If I were the devil, if I were the devil, I would attack the family, the backbone, he says, of any nation. I would make divorce acceptable and easy, even fashionable. If the family crumbles, so does the nation. I would compel people to express their most depraved fantasies on canvas and on the movie screens and call it art. I would convince the world that people are born homosexuals and that their lifestyle should be accepted. I would convince people that right and wrong are determined by a few who call themselves authorities and refer to their agenda as politically correct. I would persuade people that the church is irrelevant, out of date, and that the Bible is for the naive. If I were the devil, I would dull the minds of Christians and make them believe that prayer is not important, that faithfulness and obedience are optional. I guess if I were the devil, I would leave things pretty much the way they are. Good day. What a word. Amen. 1965. It says, take the helmet. It is a command. It says to grasp it firmly. And that's what we have to do. Satan attacks the mind. Oh, listen, I know that is a true word. Oh, he wants to bludgeon your mind to death. He wants to beat God's word out of your mind. When he attacked Eve, remember in the garden? When he attacked Eve, what did he attack? He didn't touch her. He didn't beat her. He didn't humiliate her. He attacked one thing, her mind. He looked at Eve and says, oh, indeed, has God said? Yes, he said, if we eat that tree, we're going to die. Oh, you will not die, but you will be as God, and you will know good and evil. Satan just told Eve that God was a liar. Are you listening to me? Oh, loved one, listen. You've got to understand something. Whenever he spoke to Eve, Eve had never heard a lie. I just can't fathom. See, I try to understand that. For the first time, a lie entered into her thinking. Imagine how it hit her. Do you understand that? It was like, I've never heard that. What? God knows. Do you understand what he did? What did the devil do? He attacked Eve's only defense system, which is what? The word of God. The word of God. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Satan wants you to doubt God just like he made Eve doubt God. Does that make sense? He wants that to happen. He wants you to doubt God's love. He wants you to doubt God's faithfulness, God's goodness, God's power. And he wants you to doubt your salvation when things are bad. Listen to me. Whenever a lie comes that contradicts the word of God, it should hit your mind just like it hit Eve, and you go, what was that? Do you understand me? You should be, just what? Where did that, how did that get in there? Where in the world did that come from? Oh, listen, the lies of the devil should be like a foreign language to the believer. Do you understand? I didn't understand a word. I did. When that comes into you, do you understand? No. Let me give you an example. Vas vas lublu. Do you know what that means? Anybody speak Russian? What does that mean? Vas vas lublu. I'm not going to tell you. If I said French, let's see, pourquoi? What is that? Pourquoi pas? Ah, why not? She understands. Pourquoi pas, papa? Why not, daddy? Is that right? German. Entschuldigen Sie bitte. Here's the deal. That's exactly how the lies of the enemy should hit you. I don't know what the heck that was. I don't understand a word of it. Does that make sense? See, you have to, and the only way that you can do that is you put on the helmet of salvation. Listen, we're not talking about the salvation here that saves us from hell. We are already saved from hell. Amen? We're talking about the hell of warfare in on this earth that we go through. Oh, listen, it's that ongoing every day, every week, every month, year after year, standing against the wiles of the wicked one attacking your mind, and all he wants is this. He just wants to find one area that he can get in and maybe, just maybe, put one thought in there that stays there, that slipped in, because he uses thoughts, and thoughts are words, aren't they? Very important. Oh, loved one, listen. You know, think about thoughts for a minute. Queen's University in Canada, they just did a study, July 2020. This new study suggests this. The average person has more than 6,000 individual thoughts every day. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they said. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts, don't you? Isn't it amazing the thoughts? And if you just go, where do they come from? Am I the only person? No, and you go, Why am I thinking? Where's that come from? One study said this. We are lied to 200 times per day. And I can say with confidence that number increased if you watch the presidential elections. I mean, debates. You know what I'm saying? Never mind. God cannot lie. Satan cannot tell the truth. Okay? That's what we have to know. When you think the Bible, then you think truth, because God's word is truth. And an unrenewed mind, a Christian without the helmet of salvation, listen to me, is an empty mind. And an empty mind is perfect soil for the wicked one. How can you remove his lies if you do not know God's truth? If you don't say, there, I have my helmet on, my mind, my understanding, my thinking, it is protected. What do you do whenever you hear, you have to train yourself. Where did that come from? That's not God. That's not me. I'm a brand new person in Christ. Amen? Yes. No, how did that slip in under that helmet? How did that get in there? Did I open a door? No, what do you do? What is it? 2 Corinthians 10:3. For the weapons of our warfare, we're in a war, for the weapons of our warfare are not what? They're not carnal. They're not. We can't fight the devil in our flesh, okay? He loves that. Our wisdom, we can't do it. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They're not of this world. They're from heaven. They are mighty through God to the pulling down or demolishing or destroying of strongholds. And strongholds are thoughts, words, anything that exalts itself above the word of God. Amen? That's what we have to do. And it says what we do for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And listen to this one. Thinking, our thoughts, our mind, and bringing every thought. Every thought. That's not right. Every thought. Make every thought obedient to Christ. What a word is that? It says every thought into captivity. I'm going to put you, that is a lie from you, and I'm putting it in captivity. That meaning you're never going to be free to roam in my mind ever, ever, ever again. Amen? That's what we have to do. Oh, listen, you have to clean out your mind. You have to you get those lies out of there. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in himself, so he is. So what do? We just take up. We take that helmet and we keep it on our heads. If you think that your salvation, or if you can lose your salvation, if you believe those things, you can never stand against the wiles of the wicked one, because you are unsure that you are in Christ Jesus. And that also tells me that you don't have the helmet of salvation on. Listen to me now. If you are born again, if God created a new man, a new woman, listen to me now. If you are born again, you cannot be unborn again. Do you understand? If you are no longer in Adam and you're in Christ, you can't get back into Adam. It's an impossibility. If you have passed out of death into life, you can never go back to death. Do you see what I'm getting at? It's an impossibility. If you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the very day of redemption, you cannot be unsealed. That seal can never be broken. It's the believer's security. Do you understand that? It's the assurance, the down payment of our salvation. If God the Father has begun a good work in you, he says he will complete it. That means that God finishes what he starts. It says in the Bible that when Jesus, about our sin, what did it say? It says in 1 John 3:5, and we know he was manifested to do something. What? Well, to take away our sins. Take away. That means carry them away as far as the east is from the west. Do you understand? Oh, loved one, God's word, you put on that helmet of salvation. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews 9:12. When Jesus entered the courts of heaven, he entered with his own blood. He didn't enter with the blood of bull and goats that can never take away sin. Amen? And listen what he did. It says, and he entered the most holy place, Jesus, with his own blood once. One time, which means it's sufficient for all time. He entered, it says, for all, which it means it's sufficient for all who trust in Jesus for their salvation. And here it is. And past tense, I love it. Having obtained eternal redemption. If you are born from above, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, you've got that helmet on, and you know what you can say? I have been, because of Christ, because of his shed blood, because what he did at Calvary, I have been eternally purchased. He will never sell me. He will never sell me to anyone else. I am his own. God purchased the church with the blood of his own son. Amen. Oh, loved one, listen. Oh, God is so good. You know what sin is? Think about when we say the word sin, we know sin is lawlessness, and we know whatever so is not of faith is sin and all that, and we know that all sin is lawlessness, on and on. If you look at sin, if you just remember how you see the pictures, and I know it's time to go, give me 1 minute. You see the pictures of a COVID, right? You know, they've got all the crowns on it on TV and the news. Well, in that COVID, that germ, that virus, there's all kinds of things, amen? Well, see, you need to see sin that way. Sin, man, there's a lot of ingredients to sin. God's wrath is in sin. Did you know that? Yes, the wrath of God is against sin, all unrighteousness. The consequences of sin, it's inside of it. Do you understand? Like you've heard me say so many times, David would have never gone after Bathsheba had he knew the consequences. You see, inside of that, sin has pleasure, but only for a season. It's right in that nucleus, all of it, packed in there. We don't have to participate in that. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in John's Gospel 3:36, it says, he who believes in Christ has everlasting life, and he who does not believe, the wrath of God abideth upon him. Right this minute. Right, wrath is present tense. Not we think wrath like Noah, God's wrath, Noah and the flood, or the book of Revelation. No. God's wrath is present tense. It abides on those who do not believe. And Jesus took the wrath of God for us. Amen. It says, Jesus said in John 5:24, he said, He says, amen, or amen, or most assuredly, assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word, do you know Jesus Christ? You listening live, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord? Have you asked Christ to be the Lord of your life? Jesus said, he who hears my word and believes has everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment, praise God, but has passed from death into life. I can't imagine why someone would not come to Christ. You know what Jesus said in John 5:40, right there in that area? He said, you're not willing to come to me. You're just not willing to come to me that you might have life. That's what Jesus wants for everyone. And you know what? If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you will refuse right this minute online in this chapel, if you're listening to my voice, if you will not receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, you know why you won't do that? It's because Satan has blinded your mind, lest you believe the gospel and the light of Jesus Christ shine into your heart and you become a brand new creation and you pass out of death into the true life, the life that he came to give to us all. And that life is the abundant life. Amen. Loved one, if you don't know Christ, just right now, it doesn't matter, just lift your hands and say, Bill, I don't know Jesus. I want to be born again. Don't ever be ashamed of God. Anyone here, quickly. Anyone listening live, ask Christ right now to come into your heart. Say, Jesus, save me. Come in and live in my heart. Be the manager of my whole life. Please, I believe in Jesus' name. Pray that prayer. Loved one, listen. Put on the helmet of salvation. I don't know how you... I know I'm going long, but listen to me. You know, I'm so sick of not... When I want to come down here, I'm going to come down here. You have the mask on. I don't have it on. Huh? Listen, I want to pray for you. No, I'm just going to talk to you. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I was in the book of Samuel. In 1 Samuel. And you know Hannah, she, you know, didn't have a baby. Remember? You know, showed up, talked to Eli. Eli thought she was drunk, but she was praying. And as I was reading the scripture, as God is my witness, and you've heard people say this, and it is true. I don't know how it happens, but it does. All of a sudden, the word stood up. It stood up because of the way Hannah prayed. After all these years, I've never seen that. It wasn't the way she prayed. It's the name that she used when she prayed. She didn't say, oh, Lord. She didn't say, oh, almighty God. She didn't use Father, Father's New Testament. You understand? You know what the word she used? When she started praying and it stood up in front of me, she prayed to the Lord of hosts. The Lord and all of the armies of heaven and all of the strength of God in the universe. Are you with me? And right now, I'm going to do the very same thing because you know what? There's power in the name of God. There's power in his name. Amen? It's a name above every name. And some of you, I don't want even to know, but you are hurting. You are in trouble. And we're going to break it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, these are your sheep. These are the sheep of your pasture. They belong to you. And the wicked one, he tries to skin them alive. He tries to come in and torture their minds and their hearts and their bodies, their physical bodies, their spiritual minds, Lord. I come to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I come in the greatest name in the universe, the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I pray to the Lord of hosts. Rush in all the armies of God and destroy and displace everything that's hindering them and harming them and hurting them, oh God. Set them totally free in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Thank you for letting me go long today.